G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast. For the weekend of Saturday, February 11, I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall and Carl Diorio. Well, Joel, into the serious stuff now. First Group 1 of the calendar year has attracted 9 Group 1 winners in a field of 12. And even a few of them have... We've got 11 with two early scratchings to take on Winx. First up in the Apollo Stakes.
Yeah, big field. Obviously, horses have got to start their autumn campaign somewhere, so they've all got to kick off. And she's got a bit of competition to come up against. But what is she? $1.13, I think. So she should be adding to her streak, especially with one of the horses that was given. Well, two of the horses actually that were sort of in the market off the corporate's nomination market earlier in the week, Divine Prophet and Global Glamour, both not going up against her. So yeah, she's going to be very short and she'll probably win again. But Ore Stakes, I think, a much better betting race, certainly for the punters at Caulfield.
No doubt about that. But Carl, what about the prospect of stinking hot weather at Randwick on Saturday? Could that possibly be a chink in Winx?
Well, you never know, do you? I mean, and if it is particularly warm, you'd think about whether Chris would want to run her in that heat. And then I guess it all comes down to whether the stewards would allow her to be scratched in those circumstances without the track downgraded or upgraded. So all those little permutations, I'm sure, would play out throughout the day. But it's even hard to do the form a couple of days in advance and know what sort of track we're going to have at Randwick, because obviously the tunnel was flooded, but we've got 40-degree days and more rain on the way. It's just...
That's the thing, they're sitting on a heavy... I think still today, and yeah, we've got a couple of hot days coming up. So
I just worked off that sort of soft 5, soft 6, that sort of track, that if you handle dry, you're not going to be too disadvantaged, and if you like the wet, you might be advantaged because it can get your toe into it.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much how I based my tips around.
Lucky that they do have Royal Randwick there in the leafy eastern suburbs, because was there not talk of 46 or 47 in the west of Sydney on Saturday?
Yeah, some crazy temperatures there, and it's caused a bit of a change to some of the New South Wales meetings too. Port Macquarie now a later start on Saturday, Grafton starting around about 2:30, 2:40 on Sunday for their big country championships heat day. So yeah, it's causing a bit of havoc, the weather.
Of course, even 40, which I think is the forecast probably for Randwick, it's too hot for racing, I would have thought, but it's all about the wet bulb, isn't it, Carl? So keep an eye on the wet bulb.
Don't ask me to explain the wet bulb system about humidity and the glow lamp or whatever they've got there. There'll be just men walking around in suits looking around and clipboards and everything. It'll be like back in the days working in the delicatessen and making sure the prepackaged ham isn't gone off.
Well, anyway, we will get to Royal Randwick. Whether it ever goes ahead or not, we don't know. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. We'll certainly assume that it is. But meanwhile, we'll start with Caulfield, where, as Joel mentioned, a cracking Ore Stakes to kick off Group 1 racing in Australia for 2017. We'll get to that shortly. We'll go right through the black type. We'll start in Race 2. Highland Race Colours Autumn Stakes, Group 2 for 3-year-olds, 1,400 metres.
Number 7, Redouble for me, from the Hawks Yard. Good first up run, I thought, at Canterbury, chasing home the talented filly Raymond. It's a good form line around the likes of In Her Time. Raymond has since won again. And then next start did look a bit disappointing, missing a place, but had the big weight, 59 kilos. And both runs this prep have been on soft and heavy. I think getting back onto a drier track will probably help. And down a little bit in weight, back to his own age group here, a Redouble, I think, can cause a bit of an upset. Number 7, from 1, Attention, back to his own age after a good run fresh against older horses. 5, Ruthven, returns from a spell, showed enormous potential in the spring. And 4, Snitson, has looked really good this prep.
5, Ruthven on top for me. I thought those two wins last prep were good on dry ground and also on the heavy. And then 2nd to Morton's Fork, perhaps, Morton's Fork, I guess, is experienced. We know what sort of level he's up to, and I guess it ties in well with Peacock, because Morton's Fork probably should have edged out Peacock in the Gothic Stakes back last spring. So I think it kind of ties in those form lines, and of course Peacock ran so well first up in the Australia Stakes. So I've got the 5 on top though, Ruth, and I'm expecting a nice performance first up from Barrier 2, ahead of number 4, Snitson, who really come through the grades nicely. 3 of its last 4 races have been victories, and a little bit surprised it's not in the Debonair next weekend, or the CS Hayes, named in honour of course David's father, but This is also a suitable race over the 1400 for third number two Peacock, and then for fourth number one Attention.
Four Snitson for me to beat one Attention, two Peacock, and five Riven.
Riven? No.
Yeah. Well, the only bloke I ever knew whose surname was that pronounced it Riven. I think it's a bit like Dalziel and DL, or Menzies and Mingus. Race three at Caulfield on Saturday. Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Prelude for fillies over 1,100 metres. Ludicrously a Group 2 race. Or at least it's ludicrous that race 4 is not a Group 2. It's ludicrous that these aren't at the same level. But let's not bang on about it. I'm sure the listeners have heard us in the past talking about that. Actually, quality pack, Joel. Five last start winners. Where have you gone?
I've gone with number four, Ramuz, who... like the look of in Adelaide, she had jumped out nicely. She got the job done really well. She was strong late there. I think she can bring that form to Victoria and be very hard to beat. From three, Catchy, a lot of form lines around her holding up. One, Limestone, and seven, Pandemonium down from Sydney. Wasn't bad on debut.
Catchy on top for me. Probably not as big a fan of her as some other people who just love those form lines. It's worked out perfectly for her in behind. But I think she'll be a hard speed on the weekend up to the 1,100 metres from one Limestone, who did well to win the preview last time. Third number seven, Pandemonium. I thought that effort last start in Sydney was very good. Got to the front, just eyeballed in the lead, waited for them, finished third, and the two horses that beat at home were placed last weekend behind Veronillo, so that form line looks strong. And for fourth, number six, Zapoya, who will be getting back in the field and flashing home, sure will eat up the 1,100 metres.
Almost identical to Carl for me. Three, Catchy to beat one, Limestone. Seven, Pandemonium, and four, Ramuz. Race four is the Colts and Geldings division, which, for reasons known only to the Patent Committee, is a Group 3 event. Joel.
Four, Pariah for me, the Sydney sider. Like the look of this colt, a few people thought he was lucky to win first up, with the runner-up Minari being very unlucky, and yes, he was unlucky, but thought Pariah couldn't have done much more coming from last and wide on debut and winning really well. I think he's pretty smart. I think he can beat the locals. Going for a bit of value for the multiples, 12, Sheer Madness. Horse I don't mind. Thought his debut was quite good. He's a big price. I can have something on him. And number six, Can't Remember as well. They're the two that I'll be having a little play at odds. Thought his debut back in the spring was good. He's trialled well. And 11, Overshare, coming through the preview. He was a horse that was up on top of the hot speed and battled on quite well. 4-12, 6-11.
Overshare on top for me. For that reason, on debut, it jumped out really well prior to that. And then on debut, a nice barrier, raced outside the fast speed set by Wait for No One. Who certainly did that and knocked up the last couple of hundred, Wait for No One. Overshare battled on, was only beaten a couple of lengths. Thought so that run was good, draws a nice inside barrier again, should be up on the speed, and I think great each way value at the price. Edit number nine, Ducimus, who's the stable mate, wouldn't be reading anything into the booking of Noel Callow over Dwayne Dunn or anything like that. I think it's still got a great chance off that debut win at Ballarat. They ran good time. For third number one, Azel, I'm sure will improve off that Blue Diamond preview run. And then for fourth, I'm putting in number two, Property, but certainly the chances don't end there. Marsupial's got a great chance in Denial, Pariah. Great race, plenty of depth, and in many ways, more depth in the fillies division.
Fancy that. Seven for me, Marsupial, to beat four, Pariah, five, Cow Cow, and six, Can't Remember. Race five is the Group 3 Kevin Hayes Stakes over 1,200 metres for three-year-old fillies, Joel.
Just giving another chance to Savannah Amore, who I thought was okay down the straight at Flemington. She looked sort of at 200 out that she was going to burst through and burst out wide and really get into the finish, and didn't quite get there, but I think back up to 1,200, she'd had a bit of a let-up, so she might shoot a bit fitter too. So I'll stick with her, give her another chance. From one, Jennifer Lynn, who was good first up, when edged out by Navaggio. Five, Furyk in for third, and Navaggio in for fourth. 8-1-5-6.
Oregon's Day on top for me, number three. Don't mind this filly. Showed great promise late autumn. Second Perpetual Crisis, who then came out and won the recent Inglis Dash down the straight in that race that Savannah and Moore actually finished midfield in. And then also beat Highland Beat with a really tough win after being three wide up in the speed. Willing to just ignore what happened in the spring in that only defeat in the Atlantic Jewel. Recent jump outs have been excellent. Really flying on the training track, and Bowler reports Mick Price tipped her at the Autumn Carnival launched this morning. Apparently it works really well even during the week. So got it on top, 20-1 from Navaggio. It was a good first up winner. Five Furica was desperately unlucky in the English Dash. And Jennifer Lynn, who should eat up 1400.
Navaggio for me, number 6 to beat 1 Jennifer Lynn, 5 Furyk and 11 Facts. Race 6 at Caulfield on Saturday, Schweppes Rubiton Stakes, Group 2, 1100. A few smart ones in this, Joel.
Yeah, good race. Good to see Chautauqua back. I've gone for Wild Rain, just hopefully she jumps straight to the front and gives them plenty to chase, as she did first up last prep and did manage to place in a Group 1. She's a very speedy mare. I think she can give you a great sight from 1 Chautauqua. Well, if he comes back to his best, he'll probably win. 3 Hellbent was good first up. Just didn't have the room when he needed to get clear, but he hit the line well. And I've thrown in the Group 1 winning filly, I Am a Star, for 4th.
I'll put Chautauqua on top from Wild Rain, Hellbent and Super Cash. I wouldn't be punting up on Chautauqua, though, about 240, 250. He looks a bit vulnerable to mine. Wild Rain will lead, will roll along and give him something to chase down. And Chautauqua, I mean, you just don't know quite where he's at. It's going to be one of those races where you just could sit back, and if he comes out and wins by 3, you say, well, gee, that was easy money. And if he gets beaten, then you kind of kick yourself. So it's a no-bet race for me.
Yeah, I'm very much in Carl's corner there. Have got Chautauqua on top, but question marks will be resolved. But that's why you get odds, isn't it? 4 Wild Rain for 2nd, 7 El Divino for 3rd, 3 Hellbent for 4th. And the big one, second leg of the quaddie. That was the first leg, second leg of the quaddie, main quaddie at Caulfield on Saturday. Ladbrokes CF or Stakes, 1400 metres, half a million, Group 1. Status, standard weight for age, and as I pointed out in Best Bets this week, this race does produce a lot of horses of the year, and certainly this weekend does. Obviously the horse of the year is racing in Sydney this weekend, but just a top quality race. And the other thing I've pointed out is that it's always in the last 14 years been won either by a first upper or by a horse who has finished first, second or third in basically the race that is the Australia Stakes at Moonee Valley. John?
I am going with the 3-year-old, Divine Prophet. So good with their colts, Team Hawks. He was just so good first up last prep. I know it was only 3-year-olds and he beat Darren, but he is a top class. Obviously, he went on to win the Guineas. He ran very well in the Golden Rose after that. So he's come through two really good races through the spring, and he should get a lovely run just off them, barrier 6. You know, he won't get back to last. He'll probably get sort of that similar sort of run to the Guineas, where I know he drew inside, but he won't get too far further back than that. I think it'll be very hard to hold out from 1 Blackheart Bart. We'll strip that bit of fitter first up. 8 Ecuador, got a bit of a soft spot for him, and he's just come back in ripping order in Sydney. And 4 Malaguera up to the 1400 in for 4th.
What do you make of Divine Prophet's trials in Sydney?
Yeah, I don't know. You just think that they could have found a softer option, couldn't they? Yeah. I guess, but I suppose he's a colt. He's got to run in these Group 1 races, hasn't he? But yeah, you'd think they could easily have waited, though, if he wasn't going that well.
Yeah, I was going to put him on top, and then I saw those two trials in Sydney, and I just
bit of a query.
Yeah, I mean, Hawks, they tend to have those soft trials as well. He was quite busy, ridden out to hold his spot, and well, it's hard to know how heavy the saddle and all those little things are, but I've put him for 3rd. I've gone with Palantino at a little bit of a price. I like the way he found the line from a rearward position for 4th in the Australia Stakes. I think he'll appreciate the 1400. He ran a Butler in the Memsey second up last campaign over the same track and distance, and I just think he's great value at the price. To beat 1 Blackheart Bar at the stable, mate, he looks the horse to beat for mine. For 3rd, number 12, Divine Prophet. And then 4th, number 4, Malaguera, who, whilst he did win twice over the Melbourne Cup Carnival over 1400 running slick time, his two failures subsequent to that have been in the Stradbroke and the other 1400 metre all aged. So he can carve out the time, but there might be some sort of query at him at the top level at 1400.
I agree, and that's why I've got Blackheart Bart on top. Back to Caulfield, back to 1400 metres. It just can't be ignored to beat 3 Lucky Hustler, stablemate. 12 Divine Prophet and 4 Malaguera. Race 8 at Caulfield on Saturday, third leg of the quaddy, the Resimax Group TS Carline Cup, 1600 for 4 years old and up, Group 3.
Six Humidor, bet of the day for me. Very smart horse over from New Zealand now with Darren Weir. Loved his return on Australia Day. He just couldn't really go the early speed. Rode him conservatively. He was being ridden along, coming to the corner. Liked the way he followed the inside home and really attacked the line the last 100 metres. Drawn to probably, you know, he's drawn to probably go back again, but he is capable of going forward, certainly on his New Zealand run. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of tactics they do use with him. But either way, I think he'll be very, very hard to beat. From three, Pelot de Say. I think he's come up over the odds in early markets. Remember, he was very competitive early in his last prep and should have won two or three times. And so I think he's better than what perhaps the odds assessors are suggesting. Number one Tally in for third. I think he's pretty big odds too. Come back at Gelding, and I think 1600 first up can see him, give a bit of cheek at odds. And five, Grand Rosso's in really good winning form.
Yeah, class horses I think you got to go for in this race. I've gone with Pillow the Side and Knock Off Humidor. I think, just as you said, Joel, I think he's over the odds, Pillow the Side for $13. He's got a great fresh record. He's got a great 1600 metre record. I think he's, his first up run last prep, he was second to Ullman, who was later Group 2 placed. He's going to probably press forward from the barrier and sit outside the lead and be prominent throughout. His two recent jump outs been very, very good. I'm sure he'll be competitive. From Six Humidor, he's just having a look. He's won $150,000 in prize money, but I'm sure in another 12 months' time, he might have got significantly double, trebled, maybe even that amount. He's a horse going places. Third, number two, Burning Front, will get the rights or the run just off the speed. And the same can be said for the inform five, Grande Rosso, who, you've got to consider him. But perhaps up to the mile, that might just stop him.
Burning Front for me, number two, and I've made Burning Front my best up against Joel's best of stablemate, number six, Humidor. But Burning Front, just much like my logic with Blackheart Bar, just Caulfield, and in this case 1600 metres, unbeaten from two in both occasions. And in fact, last time he was around the 1600 metres, he gave half a kilo to and knocked off a horse called Hell of a Street, who then went on and beat Admiral at Wait for Age. So it's pretty good form, I think. I mean, certainly toughest test, but I think he's a bit of a class conveyance these days, even if his overall stats aren't spectacular, but around this trip and around this track, they are. Two, Burning Front, to beat 11, Real Love. Three, Polodesai, and five, Grande Rosso. Finally, at Caulfield, race nine, mypunter.com, Belmain Stakes, 1,200 metres for mares at Group 3 level, Joel.
Three, Thames Court for me. She really stepped up during the spring and ran some really nice races. She's drawn wide, but she should press forward. I think some good class mares in this, and I think she's one of them. I think she'll be very hard to beat. Six, Den Per, I like on a firm track, which she will get. Her wet track form's not much good, but she's pretty talented on top of the ground. One, Silent Sedition, another class mare, and two, Abby Marie, 1200. Probably going to be a bit short for her, but unbeaten. We haven't seen her for a while. I just thought I'd throw her in for fourth.
Gone with seven, Alaskan Rose on top. We'll need all the 1200 metres first up. She was an impressive 1400 metre winner at this track, fresh last campaign. Just like the way the race might turn out for her, there's a lot of speed drawn wide, there's no speed drawn on her inside. Hopefully she can just land midfield off a hot speed and finish home over the top. Got her ahead of one, Silent Sedition, 10, the Mirror Estrella, and three, Thames Court. Those three mares are very talented, and the chances certainly don't end there with Denpoor and a whole list of others who can figure.
Yeah, Dan Per, very good in $1 million race on the Gold Coast last start. Got her on top, number six, to beat two, Abby Marie, one, Silent Sedition, three, Thames Court. As I mentioned, my best was at race eight, number two, a Burning Front. And my value bet is race nine, number six, Dan Per, Joel.
My best is Humidor, race eight, number six. My value is Redouble, race two, number seven. And a bit of a roughie was Sheer Madness, race four, number 12.
And I'll add to the confusion, my best is race eight, number three, Pillow de Sai. And my value bet's race five, number three, Oregon's Day.
Well, that'll sort out the sheep from the goats. Royal Randwick venue for Sydney racing on Saturday. The big one, of course, is the Group 2 Apollo Stakes. But as Joel mentioned, it's not the big betting race. But there's a massive 10 races on this Randwick program. And we'll start with the English Classic, Rich One. It is a restricted listed race, $250,000 worth. And it's for 2-year-olds over 1,200 metres, Joel.
Seven, Frolic, for me. I think she can break through. She's a Nice filly. She'd been trialling well leading up to that debut. I thought she'd probably win that debut in the country, but she just got a bit too far back. She hit the line really well, though, as she did at Canterbury last start behind Marsupial, and Marsupial's been sent down to Melbourne for the prelude. She just wanted to over-race a little bit at the back of the field at Canterbury. Winker's come off. She's drawn wide, so she'll get back again, but hopefully she just settles nicely and we're able to finish over the top from 4 Ultramarine. I think can take good benefit from that debut. 14, She's On Cue, the first starter who's had good grounding, 3 trials, and I thought trialled quite nicely last time. And 8, Sweet Deal. Really good run on debut, wide, and battled on really well. She's drawn wide again, but it was a pretty game effort at her first start.
Number 14, She's On Cue for me. Brother to Man From U.N.C.L.E., who won last Saturday, so it could be a big week for the breeders of She's On Cue and also Man From U.N.C.L.E. Just those trials have been impressive. Draws barrier 4, I think, look for her to be finishing home over the top. She does possess a good turn of foot from a midfield position, so that's what I'm expecting. Got ahead of 4 Ultramarine, 11 Smooth Celebration, but just be careful with Smooth Celebration. I believe that there's been a temperature there, so they're going to have a blood test on the Friday to see if the horse can run. And for 4th, number 7, Frolic.
Race 5 at Randwick on Saturday, the Chi-X Southern Cross Stakes, Group 3 over 1,200 metres, Joel.
I'm going to go with number 2, Dothraki here. He's been given a little bit of a freshen since his first up defeat at the Gold Coast, where he loomed to win halfway up the straight after being heavily backed in the sprint and just didn't quite finish off the last 50 or so metres, but he's much better second up. You'll get a lovely soft run from that gate. I think he'll run you a good race each way. To beat the shorty impending, the 3-year-old, he's clearly a top-class colt, and with the 53.5, he's going to be very, very dangerous late. 10 Defcon, the other 3-year-old, he certainly has to be respected. And 4 Snippets Land, who did run really well at the Gold Coast. Pretty honest sort. Lee Romaine, certainly classy. I just thought the 61, and he drew well first up last prep. Drawn 7, he might get back off him and just struggle with that weight. But Dothraki for me.
Impending on top, I just think that he's got too well weighted in this race. 53.5, barrier 1. He'll concede the start, but he'll be running on. He's fresh run last prep, 3rd to a stern and start turn. That reads well for this, even against the older horses here. Going ahead of 10 Defcon, the fellow 3-year-old colt in the race. Like that win in the McNeil. First up last prep. 3rd, number 1, La Romaine. Got the concerns like yourself, Joel, with the weight, but he's just... he's so honest, and I underestimated him all last campaign, so now I'm finally going to maybe respect him just a little bit more. And for 4th, number 7, His Majesty, was horribly unlucky last time.
Race 6 at Randwick on Saturday is, of course, the Star Apollo Stakes, Group 2, over 1,400 metres at weight for age. So unless Winx gets heatstroke, she'll be winning. What'll be running 2nd, 3rd and 4th?
Well, I've stuck with the class for 2nd, Hartnell, who just went to another level in the spring, and I think he'll run really well again. 5, Dibiani, very consistent, doesn't win often, but he's consistent and he's got a pretty good fitness base, so I think he's a logical pick to include in multiples. And 7, Endless Drama, his trials have been pretty good leading into this. 11, Winx on top of 1, 5 and 7.
Interesting to see the thoughts of John Horahan leaving out Winx out of his top 4.
And putting a scratching on top.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll have a word to John during the week, I'm sure. But Winx on top for me from Hartnell. I mean, Hartnell might get close, but you couldn't really say with any confidence can topple Winx. For 3rd, I've put in Endless Drama, and 4th, Dibiani. So similar numbers to John.
Race 7. Talk me through this, Joel. Trainer Connection Spring Stakes, 3-year-old, 1,600 metres, Group 3. Was this has this been deferred from the spring, or...?
Yeah, so it was. It's a Newcastle jockey race, which they didn't run at Newcastle because they're racing on the Beaumont track. And so they've moved it to this time of the year. And I don't know where it really fits in. I mean, yeah, I suppose, you know, a mile's a little bit early for 3-year-olds at this stage. I guess some derby types might be in there.
And they reopened Newcastle track just the other day.
Yeah, so... Tuesday. I think they had a four races, Newcastle 4 on the Beaumont. So yeah, no, I'm not really sure where this race fits in, but I'm without a lot of confidence. I've gone for 3 first approval, just hoping he can break through this time. And he's had the 3 runs. His first 2 were pretty good. Snowden, Team Snowden sent him down to Melbourne on Australia Day, and it was a pretty good run. He did it a bit tough. They didn't go all that hard, but he was wide and thought he battled on pretty well. He'll get a soft run here and should be pretty fit. Got him ahead of Seven Gargwin, who's I think a pretty promising type. He won pretty well last start. He's still learning the caper. Four Royal Navy, who's really hit form of late. It was a good strong win last start, and 12 Faraway Town. Pretty consistent sort of a filly, and she should be pretty fit.
Yeah, Royal Navy on top for me. Like the past two wins, since the blinkers have gone on, I think it's really switched him on, the son of Fastnet Rock, and I think he can go on and win and beat the filly Cezanne, who resumes with a nice first up effort. Did pull up lame. Some people were disappointed, but you know, carrying 60 kilos against the older mares, it's never easy, particularly first up. So I think back against her own age group, she'll be more competitive. The third, number three, First Approval. And then for fourth, number 12, Faraway Town. I'm not convinced that she's capable of running out a strong 1600, but I think she's a little bit down in class, has a bit of an experience edge on her rivals, and maybe can stumble home into fourth.
Race 8 at Royal Randwick on Saturday, TAB Lightfingers Stakes, 1200 metres for a 3-year-old filly's job.
Yeah, well, I've gone for a real roughie here, but I think she's a filly just to put in your black book and follow through the autumn, number 13, long time ago. Her debut was eye-catching, even though she only beat a couple home. I thought it was a really nice debut and sort of thought to myself, I'll follow you when you come back. She won first up at Wyong, no favours in the run, four wide throughout, and really liked the way she knuckled down. The runner-up has since bolted in at Warwick Farm on Wednesday. She's drawn barrier two, she'll do no work. She'll definitely improve over further. She's out of the Oaks winner once for wild, and I'm sure that's sort of the path that she'll be on. But I think at the 30s or 40s, I'm going to take a bit of a chance on her to beat three Fox Play class filly. Won her two in Sydney, then beaten in the 1,000 guineas, but certainly wasn't disgraced. Won Global Glamour. She's ready to rock and roll. She's had the two runs back. She's certainly a deserved favourite. And two Sprite, who really went to another level in the spring, winning all three. But gone for one at odds here, 13 from 3, 1, and 2.
I think it's a race in two between Foxplay and Global Glamour, the two class fillies. I got with Foxplay, the edge Global Glamour, just Global Glamour coming back to the 1,200 metres after a really tough run last time at the 14 in the Gold Coast. So I've just gone with Foxplay, has perhaps been prepared for it a little bit more run. Better barrier three, should get a beautiful run through, and she was so dominant early last campaign before running a decent fourth down here in the 1,000 guineas. So I got her on top to beat Global Glamour, and then I've put in the two horses at a bit of odds. Seven Zenalicious, so I'm sure will be better over 1400 to a mile, but I really like her, and also the 13 long time ago that Joel made a great case for. I think her last start win was excellent. So maybe two with odds and two that should fight out the finish, but a race I'm keen to play.
Good name, that long time ago, isn't it? Out of Once for a Wild.
Yes.
Yeah, I know how they feel. All right, in race 9, Roderick Lodge, Triskay Stakes, 1,200 metres at Group 3 level for mares, Joel.
Yeah, well, we spoke earlier about it's a bit tricky doing the form, you know, with these track conditions, but ideally, I'd want the moisture to really stick around in the track for my on-top pick, Queen of Kariba from the Joe Pride Yard. Newcomer to the Pride stable, and well, she's a bit of a non-winner. She gets back and sort of runs on and, you know, probably needs soft ground to really show her best. But her first up run on a good track was good. Her trials were good. I thought she would run pretty well fresh, and she did loom and just peaked on her run the last 100 metres. I think as long as that track still holds enough given it, I think big odds, she's worth a little look. From one, Dixie Blossoms, she can step up to, or she did step up to Group 1 company in the spring. That was a really good effort. For fourth in the Maya Classic, she's very smart. 59 kilos, obviously tough, but she's trialled up super. She's very hard to beat. Six, Shillelagh, drawn wide, but very talented mare resuming. And 10, Zestful, didn't have much luck in Brisbane last start.
Yeah, Shillelagh on top for me. She was a good thing beaten on several occasions last campaign in Melbourne. Now with Chris Waller, but that's no knock in the trainers. The old trainers, they did a great job with her. She just didn't get the cash. But I think she can on the weekend. She'll get back and be flying home from the white barrier. Nancy, number three in for second. This mare's been trialling really well ahead of her resumption. Two runs last prep, she didn't show her best, but the form last autumn was excellent. Third, number one, Dixie Blossoms, and for fourth, number two, Pearls. Those two mares, Dixie Blossoms and Pearls, at the top of the weights, and they have both got great fresh form and also proven at this level.
So, Carl, that was your best race 9, number 6, Shillelagh, and your value bet at Royal Randwick on Saturday, happily enough, comes up in the last, which we're not going to worry about because it is just a benchmark 85. But your value bet there, number 7, Dupin.
Yeah, off a long break as well. I was looking for any sort of issues, wind operations or something like that, but no real steward's notices there. Did trial up in January, and then we didn't see it up until December. A couple of trials of late, and those trials been really good, really soft hit outs. Has a touch of class. This is a big field, not a lot of depth. There's a bit of dead wood to this, and Dupin in his best form would go awfully closer. From barrier one, maybe gets a nice suck run up on the fence, and he's 25 to 1, so just willing to speculate.
My best was Frolic, race 4, number 7, and my value, Queen of Kariba. Race 9, number 12.
Okay, they're on the course proper at Morfordville on Saturday. Carl, and your best comes up in the 6th. You're in agreement with fellow winning post tipster Daniel Borg with number 8, Ali.
Yeah, Ali. It was painful viewing for those that backed Ali last Saturday. It was held up for most of the straight. This daughter of Smart Missile finished third, beaten ahead. It was a real blanket go. She's yet to miss a top three finish. She's awfully consistent. She's the sort of filly that you can see racing in Melbourne, I'm sure, within the next 6 to 12 months. She's a pretty progressive type for Philip Stokes and is being brought along patiently. So got her on top. I think she'll be winning. And the value bet comes up in the last. It's race 8, number 8, Roselli Sting. Hopefully you can get each way odds about her. Liked her first up win, always had a bit of time for him, I should say. That was a really nice win from that outside barrier last. Draws better this time around, and hopefully we'll be finishing home over the top again.
Yeah. Nothing for me. You did mention our winning post colleague Daniel Borg. Good to see a horse he's got a share in make a debut at Morfordville on Saturday, so good luck. Daniel, I speak of Enka Flame, race 4, number 10.
They're not too confident, I can tell you as well. So
put the line through it.
Have a sentimental bet, perhaps.
Doomben is the venue for Brisbane racing on Saturday. Another big card, 9 races. Joel, and for our best, we look to race 5, the Liam Birchley trained number 3, Have a Say.
Yeah, time for him to win this prep. He's had the 4 runs, he's been hitting the line strongly, in better company. It was a good effort. Last time out on Magic Millions Day, no Metro win, 13.50, D Brown, plenty of ticks. He should really get the job done on Saturday. And my value was Kim Noir, race 6, number 8, coming off a last of 8, but had a big weight, was first up off a bit of a freshen, and was only beaten 3 lengths. She was a drifter in betting. This stable don't mind a bit of a punt, so I'd like to see some support for her in the market, but a nice weight drop, and she's well and truly up to this grade, so check the betting, but I do expect good improvement from Kim Noir.
In the West, they are racing at Pinjarra for the Magic Millions program there. Owners and trainers have very much come to the party with 128 acceptors. What have you found for us there?
Yeah, big meeting there. My best bet is in the WA Pearl Classic, $80,000 race for the mares, race 6, number 5, Cracker Vision. Been given a bit of a freshen since the carnival. She ran a couple of really good races in black type company, including a third enlisted grade where she drew wide and really attacked the line hard. Last time out, just didn't quite run out the mile. As I said, she's had a freshen. Her recent trial was very good. I think she's ready to win. And my value, be interesting to see the odds in this race. Not sure what sort of value it'll be, but we tipped him first start and it was a big win, came from last. At this track, I speak of The Shoe, race 7, number 3. This is in the 2-year-old classic. And, on the strength of that win, they've just kept him fresh, given him a trial. It was a nice trial. I think he's pretty smart. I think he can win. Just be interested to see what sort of odds he does go up. The 3-year-old trophy, race 5, not an overly strong race. Ellie Kazoom's drawn 11 of 11, but she should be accounting for them.
All right, earlier in the day, did we conclude the Tarapa? Oh, no, conclude the Tarapa Carnival?
Yeah, with a couple of
big ones.
Yeah, a couple of group ones, both at weight for age. The Herbie Dyke Stakes, race 6 over 2,000 metres. The 2 3-year-olds down the bottom, certainly high up in betting. Savile Row is the favourite, and I've gone his way. Very talented 3-year-old on his way to the Derby. To beat 1, Volkstock and Barrel, the tried and true. He ran really well with the big weight under handicap conditions last start. 8, Abide With Me in for 3rd, and 11, John Snow, the other 4-year-old, in for 4th. The NRM Sprint is the other group one over the 1400. I've gone for another three-year-old in Saracino, who of course we saw through the spring perform very well. His first up run wasn't too bad, and back going left-handed, which have seen him run his best races. He can improve and beat the tried and true Cowie, who's the favourite, Michael Walker, across to ride for his old boss Alan Sharrock. He'll be very, very hard to beat. 10 Sophia Rosa didn't show much in the spring stable. Pretty confident that they've got her back, and 25-1, she could be over the odds fresh. And 8 Brighton, who's been hitting the line well at his last couple of runs in Group 1 company. I've thrown him in for 4th. Aotearoa is my best bet, which is in race 7. Number 3, just really strong form lines, very good 3rd last start, behind a subsequent Group 1 winner, and my value bet is Saracino in race 8. Woodville is the other meeting. My best bet is Our Daisy. Didn't quite get the cash at 30-1 when she was our best a couple of weeks ago. Finished 2nd, really good run. She's drawn wide this time. Hopefully she can get across early and go at one better. And my value bet is Rusty in Melbourne, race 1, number 9. Got back in a much stronger race last start. Back to a maiden, Rusty in Melbourne. Should be very hard to beat.
All right, that leaves us only, well, I should remind you that racing goes, that's a great Saturday, but we go right through Friday and Sunday with our form in winning post. And this week, in fact, as a bonus, you also get full form for Echuca on Monday, which was postponed from Friday. So plenty of shelf life in this week's winning post, still only $5. Feature on Sunday in Victoria is Colac Race 6, Australian Lamb Company Group Colac Gold Cup, Joel, and our lucky omens is at a bit of value there.
Yeah, that's the former Hong Kong galloper who won with the 61 second up from a spell. His first run here for Kelvin Burke was good. He didn't beat much the other day, but it was a really good win. He dropped 7 kilos. Master Zephyr's clearly the class runner. He's been racing really well in town, and he's going to be very hard to beat. But I just thought with the pull in the weights, maybe our lucky omens number 11 to beat 1 Master Zephyr, 5 London Fog, and 4 Survived.
Damien Oliver rode the Colac at this meeting last year for the first time in a long time, might have been ever. Is he there today?
He's not there. Sunday? Not there on Sunday, no, hasn't returned.
All right, that wraps up a big preview podcast. Joel's last for a little while, going on a bit of a well-earned holiday. But no, well, I hope you freshen up as well as I did on my holiday, Joel, because my best bet of the week, my $20 bet for the week, has been undefeated since I returned last week.
That's three in a row, isn't it?
It is three in a row. Haven't been any flash prices, but winner's a winner. And look, I'm not going to go up against you blokes and your best bets with my best bet at Caulfield on Saturday. I'm going to go earlier in the day.
Not going to Winks, just to make it 4.
Pick a fence at 4, then you'll start.
No, I'm going to go Caulfield race 3, number 3, Catchy.
Catchy, all right. Well, we'll go Caulfield, and I'll go Humidor, race 8, number 6.
Okay, I'll run away and go to Sydney then. I'll go race 9, number 6, Shillelagh.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. Carl and I will talk to you next week on the preview podcast.